الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأم وآل آله وسلم الحمد لله الحمد لله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and gathered us again for another Salat al-Jumu'ah. Well, this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believers, because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. Amen. This afternoon I'd like to remind myself and share with you an interesting subject that came up last week at another masjid that I give a quick glance. They were having an interfaith dinner in which they invited Jews and Christians and people of other religions to a dinner and mutual sharing and fraternity and things of that nature. Generally, I'm not one that partakes in that for my own personal reasons. But it forced me to rethink that and my interaction with non-Muslims. And it reminded me of a situation that happened to me many years ago in my zealous Baha'i'ism. A lot of immigrant Muslims probably don't understand this phenomenon, but for those who convert to Islam, most of us go through a period of zealousness where we've got this religion, we're studying it, and we're all into it, and we're eager to share it with everybody, any and everybody. And for myself, I was at a degree where I used to go to this park in Taurus called the Wadra Park, and there would be Christians walking around with their Bibles. And I'd be walking around with my Quran, just waiting, anticipating that encounter, so that when the Christians would try to make their da'wah to me, bam, I was ready to come back with my da'wah to them. And this eagerness and this assurity of knowing that I've read the Bible, all their versions of the Bible, more times than they've read it, and I know Quran, so come on, I'm ready. With that kind of eagerness. Of course, I've mellowed out since then. In fact, to the degree that I very rarely even have a discussion with a non-Muslim unless they're seeking information. The days of debating and proving that I'm right and we're right and they're wrong, I'm not there anymore. Way past that, and even to the degree that I avoid that. So this interfaith dinner is coming up, and I didn't want to go, really. But the organizers of the event and twisted my arm and convinced me, come on, brother, you got to be there, you know? All right, okay, so I'm going to go. And I thought that it brought back some experiences of the past, which I'll share a few of them with you, in the context of Muslim and da'wah, because we are all assigned and have the amana to be dialogue.
All of us Muslims.
But we don't all have the same level of knowledge and understanding and a clear concept of what are we doing when we're trying to do what we think we're doing. And we often, particularly for the immigrants, don't understand the complexity of who we're talking to. So, person born in Egypt and raised in Egypt and might be working with some people may not understand their culture and understanding and their concepts, but they're eager to share their religion with them. Often you can do more damage than good. And then, of course, there are those African Americans who, and others, who, with our families, we want them to believe and accept this religion so badly that we even get angry with them because they don't see it like we see it. A lot of dynamics going on here. A couple of quick experiences. One, maybe about 30 years ago, from the old man, my nephew, when he was young, I used to have a colleague with him, talk to him about Islam and various things, and I used to bring him in for playtime. So we had a few friends that would, inevitably, they want to part, so they'd come in and sit down for this 30 minutes and listen to me teach my nephew about Islam. So one of the kids' mother was a very devout Christian, went to church two or three times a week, very modest lady of practicing of her understanding of Christianity. And she knew her son was coming to my Islamic or my Quranic teaching. So one day she saw me in the apartment and she said, "Tell me about Islam." Oh, it's an opportunity. So she said, "Tell me about Jesus. What do you Muslims think about Jesus?" So quickly I said, "Sir Ikhlas. Muslims say Allah is one. Allah is eternal. Allah is absolute. Allah was never born from anyone. Allah never gave birth to anyone. Allah was never born from anyone. Allah is one, and there's nothing like Allah." That's Surah Ikhlas. They just translated. She said, "Okay, thank you." And turned and walked away. Now, that Surah is accurate. But what I realized was I didn't share with her, in my lack of experience, anything to keep her interested. I just basically, what I told her was a total 180 degree separation from what she believes, and it was too much for her to swallow at that time. Why didn't I tell her the story of Zachariah? When he went into the prayer chamber and he went into Maryam, Maryam's prayer chamber, and he saw her with all of the things provided for her, and that's the whole story. Why didn't I do that? So I just didn't do it. I thought, wow, that would have been, to share that with her would have facilitated another opportunity. But so be it, I missed that opportunity in my lack of experience. So within that concept, I learned better how to make da'wah and how to share Islam with people based upon what I know about them, what they can digest to live to share another day. Now I'm going to fast forward to another experience. I had a da'wah class in the masjid, and I was teaching Muslims how to make da'wah. So I had these two small groups, about five people. Simply, this is the question. If you had 3 to 5 minutes to share with someone that you knew, co-worker, friend, because remember, you're not going to get a lot of time in the beginning. It's not like somebody's going to sit down and say, "Tell me all about you." Maybe you have 3 to 5 minutes. Short burst. What would you say to this person you're making down to? One by one. First, second, third, fourth. So, first person said, "I would tell them if they don't accept Islam, they're going to hell." Wow, you're going to really go far with that, right? What do you think about that? You're going to get down with someone, you got 3 to 5 minutes, and you're going to give them a Bible conference. If you don't accept Islam, you're going to hell. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with me. We won't have this conversation again, will we? No. And as I went, each person basically said the same thing. And then one person said, after he realized my reaction, he said, I would tell him the 5 pillars. Shahada. We pray. We make salat. We fast. We make hajj. You know, these things. Okay. When you're telling someone what we do, not what we believe. Because a person really, when they ask you, tell me about Islam, they want to know, what do you believe? What is your aqidah? What do you believe in? Therefore, a Muslim has to know clearly and concisely what they believe in and be able to articulate it in a non-attacking, in an inclusive way so that the person might want to hear something a second, third, or fourth time. So the question becomes to all of us as dialogue in this room, are we equipped? Are we prepared? How much thought have we given to this? Since we are all, by the very nature of the fact of the amana that we carry on ourselves, dialogue. We are all in this society, almost everybody here came from work. You work with non-Muslims. You go to school with non-Muslims. Some of us have non-Muslim family members. How much thought have we given to it? Not in the attacking mode to show we believe in Allah and you believe in this, and now I'm going to eliminate you from the gender because you believe it. Often that's the attitude that prevails. We're better than you. So I go back, and I was thinking of this in reference to this dinner. When Allah says in the Quran, and it is He who bestowed this favor of Islam upon us. If He willed, He could have made all of us one religion. So that automatically eliminates the pompous, I'm better than you attitude that sometimes Muslims have. I have it. I'm on the deen. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then all the rest of you lesser beings down there. Automatically eliminates that. Puts us in a more humble position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed a favor upon us by giving us Islam. That step. Then moving on to the next item. Our preparation. Our preparation before the preparation. Our love of the people. Because remember, people don't care how much you know. They only care about how much you care for them. They perceive that you care for them, that you like them, that you want to have a relationship with them, and they like you. A person will accept what you say. Unfortunately, you may deliver the truth to someone, but if you have it with a bad attitude or they don't like you, you wrong them, so what? They don't care. They're not going to listen to you. That's the reality of human beings and relationships. Think about this. How many times have someone came and, quote, in African American vernacular, say, laid this on you? Yeah, he laid it on you. It might have been the truth. So what? You just erased it out. You don't care because you don't like them. Or you think they don't like you. So the good, the successful dialogue has to like people, love people, want to include people, show them that they care. It's in the realm of relationships. Show them that you care genuinely. And we move on. The preparation. Have you given it much thought? have you thought about in your spare time, if I have the opportunity to share this with so-and-so, how would I present it to them? As one old guy said, old seer I listened to a long time ago, now I must have been dead, there's no such thing as luck. Only preparation meeting opportunity. So now, in the realm of doubt, if one is not prepared, then there is no opportunity. One has to prepare themselves, particularly in their surroundings. What's around you? Who's around you? Who are the people that you interact with or that you may perchance meet? So the forethought is the preparation, the mental preparation, the studying of knowing what you're going to say and how you're going to say it and present it to them in a clear and concise way. Now the next comes, what are you going to share with them? Obviously, you've got a whole lot to choose from, like I did. You share with them eyes and ignorance. You're sharing that with a Christian, that's not going to take you very far. No. You're sharing it with a Jewish person, that might have got something to work with there. So now, who are you sharing it with and what are you going to share with? So now, what people more often than not want is a concept. Remember, when I lost the Panama Talent Review beforehand in the first 10 years, it was all about what? Talib. It wasn't about praying and fasting and Hajj. It wasn't that at all. 10 years, Talib. Our concept of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I suggest to you, as I've done for myself, one of the best ayahs, or I think is the best ayah in Quran, to study and ponder on is Ayat al-Kursi, Baqarah 255. That ayah is packed with our concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has nothing to do with the process, what we do and how we do it. People don't care what we do and how we do it. It doesn't matter at that point. What matters, what do we believe? What is our concept of the Creator? Because that is in the archetypal of every human being, like a cookie cup. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, alayhi salam, that was stamped in his soul, in his psyche, in every part of his being, in his DNA. DNA. So when we share that with people, in a non-threatening, beautiful way, is by planting a seed. So you planted the seed. Now, in that analogy of planting the seed, you don't have the power, I don't have the power to make the seed grow. My only power and your only power is trying to plant the seed, hoping it's in good soil, get some water, get some sunshine. MashaAllah, it's up to Allah. Which brings me to this part. Last back to the first part when I shared with you about sharing ikhlas with the lady and I meditated over that and I thought, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? You know, I should have been smarter than that. Finally, I released it in this context. I don't have power to make that body believe anything. I got no power. It could have been that I would have given her whatever, and I couldn't have made her believe. It's Allah who chooses to believe in the context of what's already in their own heart. All we can do is our best. And the example is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the best da'i of all. He couldn't get Abu Lahab, his uncle, to accept Islam. Abu Abu Talib. He couldn't get any of the, some of the people, very people that he loved the most, he couldn't get them. They didn't come over. Even some of the people that hated him switched over and came. So in conclusion, in this part, what we have to realize is that we don't have the power. We do have a responsibility for preparation, planting the seed properly, nourishing it, good example, those types of things, but we give it to Allah. We give it to Allah. That's important. So I reminded myself of this before I went to the dinner, and I shared this with the brothers and the sisters at the Juma that Friday before the Sunday dinner. So that when we approach and we go out, we have a clear understanding, number one, we do have responsibility, and all of the rest of it. The Master of Allah is in Quran. Yeah, and you have the deen of Fulbil Ukhwah. All you will believe, fulfill all of your obligations. Within this realm of da'wah, we have a set of obligations that we need to clearly know and understand and put together a package that has a plan. Because everybody at one time or another is going to be in this position. You've got that opportunity. That 3 to 5 minutes, what will you do? Will you be prepared to be an instrument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will you be an adversary, somebody stumbling, bumbling, and saying, what are you even talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. So that, in conclusion, is what I wanted to remind myself and share with all of us today. If there are opportunities out there, we must be prepared. Let's give it some forethought so that we can be the best guy in Allah. Would everybody please move forward to the ministry of that next time there's room? Make room in the mosque. Allah will make room for you in Jannah. So make room. Come on up. Close to each other. This concludes the first khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of us, and God is all of us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبي أمي وعلى آله وسلم. In conclusion, my beloved brothers and sisters, I can't emphasize too much the concept of love and caring and not feeling that we as Muslims are better than someone else. I'll share with you a situation that happened to me many years ago when I was at El Camino College. I organized a Muslim Student Association and I prepared a meeting of which, like a da'wah meeting, we had this room, auditorium, invited all the clubs and people, passed out flyers, and we were going to share Islam with the people. And a man who I'd known for many years, who respected as a very knowledgeable person in the community, his son was at El Camino College, so he got the flyer and he came. And he said this to me, which was very disturbing. He said, "Brother Dawood, you're wasting your time." He said, "The way we make da'wah and what the Muslims must do is we must become strong and force the people to become Muslims." All of us are going to get strong and we're going to make the people become Muslims. That's ridiculous. And I said, first of all, brother, think about who you're talking to. You're talking to a person who left Christianity and came to Islam. People in my family are not Muslim yet. So I'm going to get strong, get me a stick and beat the crap out of them and make them become Muslims? Ridiculous. It's train the thought. He's not by himself. There are other people who think like this. He's not alone. Crazy. Think about this. Give some examples. Because this plays right into the head of the hostile Christians who say Islam was spread by the sword. Go back. Think about this. First of all, let's go back to Adam. Arabs never had a standing army. Arabs are a lot like black people, gang bangers. Not like gang bangers got an army. They get mad about something, go home, get their gun, and come back, start shooting people. Arabs were the same. Got mad about something, went home, got their sword, and come out and ready to fight. Not like they had this sophisticated standing army practicing all the time, and they were going out conquering the world. They didn't do that. That wasn't even, those who are Arabs who know your history, that wasn't even the way they thought and acted. That was ridiculous. So that claim that Islam was spread by the sword is ridiculous. In fact, there was no standing army until the Turks came in. The Turks are warring people. There's certain cultures who are warlike cultures in Turks. Any Turks here, you know your culture, they were warring people. Ready to fight. All the time, any time. Okay. So that's ridiculous. Think about this. When Muslims, when Islam started to spread across North Africa, first place they came to was what? Egypt. That's from going from east to west, get Egypt first. It took 200 years, here's Egyptian here, you know the history. It took 200 years before Egypt became 80% Muslim. It's still 20% Christians. Hanging on for dear life. 200 years. This country is barely 200 years old. Where is the patience and the foresight? Which brings me to my last point in conclusion. If you're not well-versed in Islam, if you don't have the gift of gab and sharing, if you're not outgoing, this is the best da'wah. To be the best example. Be the best example. In your workplace, in school, at the mall, wherever you are, be the best example. So much so that a person might say, wow, that person, interesting, humble, polite. You gave them the wrong change, too much money, they brought it back. Oh, what kind of person would do that? That kind of person. Unlike so often, concluded the story, a lady came to the mosque, Straightway School a long time ago, she worked in that area, she worked for a Muslim doctor. The doctor's making da'wah to her, telling her about Islam, all the good stuff, and she's just taking it all in. She's ready. Comes in, she says, I'm ready to take your hat. She takes her hat up, comes back to me about 2 weeks later, she says, you know what? I can't work for Dr. So-and-so anymore. Why? She said, because he cheats on the billing. And when I do the billing, I know he's cheating. I can't do it anymore. It's a dialogue. The main dollar, as long as I gotta quit. I don't really believe this stuff. I don't think he does. So she quit. I'm not cheating on the building anymore. Be the best example. You can't go out talking this loud how we believe in honesty, equity, justice, and you're cheating on the building. Doesn't make sense. It's not adding up. So for all of us in our lives, whether it's our children, our wife, your husband, whatever, they gotta line up. The rhetoric and the talk gotta line up with the action. So if you're not the best person to share it with words, be also be the best to share it with deeds and actions. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy on me and all of us. For Allah put the light in front of us and behind us, on our right and on our left, above us and below us, in our hearts and our minds and our holy sisters. O Allah, please brighten our faces on the day that some of the faces will be blackened with gloom and shame. O Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you, and administer, O Lord, by your rahmah, to the ranks of your righteous servants.
Amen.
And O Allah, please have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and evil deeds. Admit us, O Lord, into your mercy and your forgiveness on our dying day and the day of judgment.
Amen.
Save us all, Allah, from the fires of hell and the agony of the grave.
Amen.
And from vanity, arrogance, enviousness, jealousy, and selfishness among ourselves.
Amen.
O Allah, please unite all of us and our family members in the religion of Islam.
Amen.
And let us all die as Muslims. Truly, O Lord, that is a great victory.
Thank you.
Jesus.